Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Today, I want to speak on a subject that I think is extremely serious. It's heartbreaking. It makes me really angry. It makes me sad. It's awful. And what I'm talking about is parental alienation, whether that is against a mother or a father, when one parent tries to turn the kid against the other parent. And we're going to get into more specific things of what that is, but it's heartbreaking and it really makes me mad. And people who do this are just, I think, mentally ill people and just people who are so angry that they just really want to hurt their spouse. But what they don't realize is that they're really, really hurting their kids. So to talk about this subject and to offer tips to people, if you're listening and you think you might be a victim of parental alienation, with me is divorce attorney Tiffany Hughes, who has been a divorce attorney in Chicago and now Florida, but she's been practicing for 11 years. And I think Tiffany is so, so smart and experienced and a really good person to talk on this subject. So hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for the kind words and for having me on again.
Well, it's always great to have you on the show. And for this topic, which is so, so serious and so important, I really think that you have so much to offer. So Tiffany wrote an article for Divorce Girl Smiling called Parental Alienation Against a Mother or a Father. And that's what we're going to kind of base this conversation on. But Tiffany, what's the definition of parental alienation? But also, what is the definition in your mind? What does it mean to you based on the cases that you've had with parental alienation?
Well, it's, you know, parental alienation is, it's kind of hard to define, but I would say like the overview for everyone to understand the concept that we're talking about is where strategically one parent intentionally displays to the other, to the child or the children, an unjustified negativity or something that is negative aimed at that other parent. And it takes so many different forms. And like you said, it is so very, very upsetting to see it and to witness it and to hear, you know, what the child says and what the child is saying that the other parent is saying and hearing it from the other parent. It's unfortunately today's podcast isn't a very happy subject, but it's a very important subject that everybody needs to understand and know and at least try to see the signs of parental alienation.
And I also want you to talk later in the podcast about what your legal recourse is if you think this is happening to you, you know? And so that's why I think you're such a good person to talk about this with. So in the article you wrote, does the other parent of your child go out of their way to limit your time with the child? Does the other parent speak poorly about you in front of your child? Does the other parent refuse to share important information or updates with you about your child? Does the other parent make things up to the child about you? These are all forms of parental alienation. And so, Tiffany, why do people do this? Like, what would be the reason somebody would want to do these things?
You know, I think when in your intro, you know, you had mentioned about people potentially having mental illnesses or there being this like deep rooted issue and of anger that they have for the other parent, that they use the child as, you know, as a means to get back at the other parent for their own individual hurt. In reality, like you said, which is very true, the only person that's hurting throughout this whole thing is the child or children. And unfortunately, you know, it takes a lot of work to get the other parent to essentially stop, but there are ways.
Okay, so first of all, mental illness would be a reason, and I truly believe that's a big reason why your spouse could be doing this to you. Because I know people, I know a couple different people who personally went through this, and that was the case. But the other thing, and I would say the more common reason for parental alienation is you hit it on the head, anger. I mean, when anybody who gets divorced is angry, okay, you've probably seen it in every single client. How can you not be? But there is a limit to what you do when you're angry. You know, you can scream at your spouse. Maybe you're passive aggressive and you're doing things. But I think that anger to its deepest core, if you're so angry that you're willing to sacrifice the emotional health of your child because you want to hurt your spouse so much, that's pretty much why somebody would do parental alienation. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I think you, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that, but think about it this way too. You know, they don't want, let's say you have a case in court and there is a guardian ad litem that is representing the child. And the guardian ad litem is going to meet with the child, and the child's going to tell the guardian ad litem about what he or she wants, what the child's wishes are as far as like, do I want to spend more time with dad? Do I want to spend more time with mom? Now, of course, this is a child, but as they get older, depending on the child's age, maturity level, like children do have some, you know, some say, in this, you know, in this whole realm of parenting time. So a parent could easily start this whole process of alienation over time. And try to reinforce in the child's mind that the other parent is a bad parent, not wanting, you know, bad mouthing the other parent, you know, wanting to essentially cause the child to reject the other parent. So that way, when the child speaks with the guardian ad litem, the child says, oh, no, I don't want to spend time with, you know, mom, dad. I want to be with, you know, the person, whatever parent he's with at the time. And so the goal is really for people that, you know, are taking part in parental alienation and causing it, is that I feel like their goal is to essentially, you know, oust the other parent completely from the child's life, which is so sad.
And you know what is the worst part? Is that when the parent gets over the anger in a couple years or maybe even months, they've already done the damage to the kid. So the kid sometimes feels it and is experiencing those weird feelings and believes the lies, even I've seen it for the rest of their life. Like there is so much damage that cannot be undone at times.
Oh, yeah, so much damage.
I don't want people listening to lose hope and say, okay, I'm a victim of parental alienation and my child is never going to believe me and they're always going to believe those lies. But what I'm saying is it's going to take a lot of therapy. And the reason why I said this is because if you think you're a victim of parental alienation, you have to act and you have to tell your lawyer and make sure to stop the behavior as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, and think about it this way. So one of the ways that a parent could, you know, achieve parental alienation, as sick as that sounds, is by interfering with parenting time, whether that be in person or electronic parenting time. And otherwise, just not allowing the child to speak to the other parent electronically when it's the other parent's parenting time. Or otherwise not making the child available when it's the other parent's parenting time. So in situations like this, it's so very important that you have an experienced family law attorney who knows what to do and knows how to enforce court orders if there are court orders, and if there's not, how to get those court orders entered. So that way you can safeguard your parenting time. And in the event that there is a violation of a court order, that you can then immediately go and enforce it and ask the court to, you know, essentially, you know, stop the other parent from doing what they're doing. Because if you don't take action and you allow it to continue, this is where a lot of parents see a huge, huge problem over the passage of time because they're not rectifying it from the beginning.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce attorney Tiffany Hughes, and we're talking about parental alienation, either against a father or a mother. So, Tiffany, in the article you wrote, you listed examples of parental alienation against a father or a mother. And I'll read you a couple of them and then you can see if I'm missing anything here. So the first one is, mom did not list dad on any of the child's school forms, medical forms, or activities. So for people listening, that might not sound to you like parental alienation, but Tiffany, isn't that, I mean, that is.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, if you have a parent, we're going to play this example out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, for example purposes, we're going to call mom Lisa and we're going to call the father Bob. Okay.
Okay.
And so Lisa goes ahead and enrolls the child in school and takes the child to the doctor and doesn't list Bob on any of the forms as the father. So the father has no way legally to be able to call the school to get information, has no way legally to call the medical providers and get any updates as it relates to any of the child's medical appointments or issues that there may be. And what happens is this creates just another way of a disconnect between Bob and his child, which, you know, cumulatively coupled with, you know, not allowing visitation, restricting calls. I mean, you couple it all together and essentially Bob is going to be pushed out.
All right. Now I'm glad you brought this up because I want to say something to the listeners here. Not putting your spouse on these medical forms might seem like a small thing. So what Tiffany and I are saying is that this is an example of parental alienation. Now, that doesn't mean you need to go and hire a guardian ad litem and take it to the extreme. But I think what we're saying, if Tiffany, let me know if I'm correct, is this is something you should say, hey, I need to be on the form. And then if you're not on the form, then go to your attorney. But, correct. You know, so people think parental alienation is, you know, to its extreme, turning the kid against the other parent. But what we're trying to say is that it comes in all different forms, which we're going to list some of them. So the next one you wrote, Tiffany, was upon the child returning from dad's home, mom questions the child about every single thing he did with dad. Why is that parental alienation?
Well, it goes into, you know, first of all, you should never question a child. If you want to say, oh, did you have a good time? You know, if you want to use more of like very broad kind of questions, like, oh, that sounds like fun. You know, that's doing those kinds of things is okay. And I just want to make that very clear. But when I'm talking about questioning, I'm really talking about interrogation. What did you do? Oh yeah. Who was there? How long did you stay there? Oh, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Why would you go there? We never used to do that. You shouldn't be going there anymore. You should tell them next time that you're over there that you don't want to go there. I don't want you to go over there. What else did you do? Like, and so when you're interrogating the child is really when it becomes an issue because you're planting these seeds in the child's head and saying, again, in our example with Lisa and Bob, you know, that Bob is taking the child somewhere that the child should consider to be a bad thing instead of it being a fun thing.
One example that I can think of is if the husband or wife, one of the people gets a new girlfriend or a boyfriend, the kid comes home and the other spouse is like, was so-and-so there? Well, what does she look like? Was she nice? What does she do for a living? You know, where did everybody sleep? Okay. That is parental alienation. You're not to be doing that. And if your former, soon to be former spouse is doing that, that's a problem.
Absolutely. It's a huge problem because children are supposed to be children. They're not supposed to be put in the middle of adult issues or, you know, adult problems. And the problem that you have is that when you're interrogating a child, you're making it become as though the things that they're saying that they did, which they probably did enjoy, are a bad thing. And so you're trying to essentially, Lisa is trying to teach this child and coach the child into believing that being with dad overall is essentially bad.
Right. Okay, moving on. Another one of these is mom refused to accept delivery of the birthday gifts dad sent to his son, causing the gifts to be returned. And by the way, these are all things that Tiffany personally experienced in her cases.
Oh, this one was so sad. And I represented Bob and Jackie and everybody listening. He had sent all these gifts. And he lived in a different state. He didn't live in Illinois, but Lisa lived in Illinois. And so he sent all these gifts and she refused them. And she said, you know, she played it off and said, they never got here. We never got them. But he had the tracking number of, like, you know, exactly, you know, when it was delivered and where it was delivered. And he actually shared with her what he got their son, which was like this, like, Transformers toy at the time. And when he told her that, because that's something that him and the child had talked about and he was surprising him, she actually went out and bought it for him and gave it to him.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
What a total jerk. I don't even care what he did. I don't even care if he cheated and left the woman for another woman. That's separate from this. And I'm not saying him cheating. I didn't mean I don't care. That if he cheated and left, that's a terrible thing that he did. But it doesn't warrant the mother doing this, is my point.
To make it even worse, like, even though there are some parents that try to justify, you know, their actions by, like, oh, he cheated, right? But remember, the child has nothing to do with that. That's an issue between you and the other parent. In this case, my client, in fact, they essentially had like a one night stand. So they were never really in a relationship. And then here was this child. And she was very angry that he didn't want to have a relationship with her, which is what really started that hatred, you know, rooted that anger that she had, that she never got over. And she wanted him to have nothing to do with her or the child.
Yes. Okay, moving on. Here's another one that I was shocked. While the child had dad's last name, mom began referring to the child by his first and middle name to the point where the child forgot his last name.
Yeah.
So to people listening, this doesn't sound like parental alienation, but it definitely is.
Well, you have to consider it in a context where this is something that's occurring on a regular and systematic basis. If you just say it one time, you know, okay, it's still not right, but it's when you continue to reinforce it. A lot of these things that we're going over today are things that are occurring on a regular and systematic basis. And that's when it becomes a problem, when the child then doesn't even acknowledge or want to acknowledge his last name.
Awful. Just awful. Okay, I want to bring up this one more example because I think it's important. Mom told the child that dad was trying to take him away from her and dad was giving mom trouble in court. While in the car with dad, the child began playing with toys and pretending one toy was a judge, yelling at the other toys. So do you see the effects that this has on these kids?
Yeah, it's so heartbreaking, Jackie. And, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I mean, you know, as much as you don't like the other parent, that child needs their father and their mother in their life. And And the psychological effects of not having a mother or a father in their lives, or to think that to be coached into believing that the other parent is a bad person or doesn't love them. I mean, it really, really, really messes up their entire life and problems that they'll have absolutely in the future in relationships, romantic relationships, non-romantic relationships. But people are so about themselves, about wanting to get back at the other person, about their own personal beliefs, that they put their child in the middle of this, not even thinking or caring what effects it's going to have on them.
Because they can't think clearly enough to think past their own hurt and anger that is presently going on.
Right.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest divorce attorney, Tiffany Hughes. And we're talking about parental alienation, either against a mother or a father. And Tiffany, I have another question for you. We spent the last few minutes talking about all these examples because I want my listeners, if any of this rings a bell, to go to your divorce attorney and say, this is wrong. Or maybe go to your spouse first and say, this is wrong. And then if they say, oh, screw you, I'm not even gonna, whatever, and doesn't listen, then you now know that you can't ignore this stuff because I truly believe that once somebody does something little and see they can get away with it, they become like a bully and they keep doing more and more and more. So if you think you're going to placate them by just being nice and it will be okay, they're just going to do more and more and more to alienate the child. So Tiffany, what should somebody do if they feel like they listen to this and they go, I might be a victim of parental alienation? What should they do?
Well, first and foremost, you need to start the process early. If you're seeing these signs that we've discussed and what's in my article, you need to address it with the other parent. And I would definitely address it in writing so that you have their response in writing, just in case if you need to use it in court, because you then have to go through that process. The problem is people, a lot of people don't see these early signs, or it's probably because they don't have the knowledge of it and they don't think anything of it. But you need to make sure that you're catching it as early as possible and essentially containing that parental alienation behavior. So that's the first step. The first step is making sure that you're catching it early. Second step is addressing it with the other parent. Third step, if that's not working, you need to speak to an attorney. I also tell clients often, as in the case with Lisa and Bob, about having the child speak to a therapist and having an outlet to where the child can talk to that therapist about what is being said and what's happening. It's kind of in between, starting, litigation in court with a guardian ad litem being appointed, but it's a way to have the child start speaking about what's going on with that other parent. And it's important, if possible, although obviously therapy is something that's confidential, but when it comes to a child and depending on the child's age, parents, the other parent like Bob could speak to the therapist. Again, this is probably something if you are really experiencing parental alienation, that other spouse like Lisa, she's not going to agree to it. So you're going to have to likely get, a court order and hire an attorney to do it. But it's so very important because it's very difficult to reverse really like severe parental alienation if you don't take the steps early and you catch it.
I could not agree more. I want to just give a shout out here to a great group of therapists. And the name of the practice is Affiliates in Counseling. And there's about 30 therapists now in the practice. They all have different niches, but a lot of them work with kids. And they have been around for a long time. I know a lot of them. The founder, Jason Price, I just love him and think the world of him. So I would highly recommend them if you find yourself needing a therapist for your child. And the other person I want to recommend is parenting coach Rita Morris. And Rita is a divorce coach who specializes in parenting. So she will work with you on how to talk to your child, what to say to your child during divorce if they're having issues. And especially, you know, in the case of parental alienation, Rita would be a really good person to get advice from. And both of these people and Tiffany can be found on divorcegirlsmiling.com. Okay, Tiffany, at the end of this article, you wrote here, parental alienation against a mother or a father is downright wrong. It's disgusting, it's unethical, and the person it hurts the most is the child. And then you wrote, while I can't control how divorcing couples act and or if one person makes the decision to engage in parental alienation, I feel as a divorce attorney a sense of responsibility to protect children from this horrible behavior. And then I love this part. The good news is, if you're willing to fight for your children and not give up, I truly think justice is often served in these kinds of cases. So I love that we're kind of ending on this note, because like both of us said, this is kind of a negative subject, but it is true that the whole point of us having this podcast is that if you are feel you are a victim of parental alienation, you can get help through therapists, your divorce attorney, a divorce coach, and do something about it, and even little things. Almost like I feel like, Tiffany, tell me if you agree, like nip it in the bud, even if it's something little. And you don't have to be a jerk about it. Just like Tiffany said, I love this advice. Put it in writing and say, would you please put my name on the kids' forms at school? I would really like to be notified if anything happens. And then if they don't respond, send another email in another week and then keep sending emails. And after three or four of them, show your attorney that you have tried to work this out with your husband or
absolutely. The ex. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree, Jackie. And I just want to also say something to anybody out there that feels as though their other spouse or ex-girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, maybe, you know, trying to alienate the child from you. Always remember, when you're with your child, you know, speak with love and kindness, you know, always stay calm, you know, and never react. And focus forward. Don't bombard them with communications, even though, you know, you may want to respond to the things that the child's saying that has been said about you. And not responding in reality is not a bad thing. You know, it's easy to feel angry about what this other person is doing to you, but you have to remain the bigger person and you have to take the necessary steps to make this change so that alienation doesn't go on anymore.
Tiffany, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I want to throw out another suggestion on how to respond and see if you like this. Let's say the kid comes home and says, Mom, Daddy said that you're not a good person and that you don't really want me here and that you're just doing what you're supposed to do and that you don't really want me here. Now, you're saying don't respond, but I think to something like that, you can't respond by screaming and saying, oh my gosh, I cannot believe, what a jerk. I can't believe he said that. I wouldn't respond that way. I would say, honey, I just want you to know that is 100% not true. I don't know why your dad would say something like that. I absolutely want you here and I love you so much that I can't even describe it. And I'm going to talk to Dad and find out why he would say something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was perfect. And I would also add that, you know, when we spend time together, it is the happiest time that I have. It's the most, amazing time. I look forward to spending time with you. I count the days until I get to see you. That's how much I'm looking forward to spending time with you. And just reiterating how much you love the child and how much you care about them and how important and what it means to you to spend that time with the child. And that it's not just some kind of obligation, like brushing your teeth, like, oh, I don't like to do it, but I have to do it, kind of thing.
Okay, and then I would say, I love that response. And then after that, I would say, the next thing you do is when your child isn't around, you can scream and be angry and hit a pillow and do whatever you want and call your girlfriends and tell them what he's doing. And then you call your attorney the next day, verbatim, tell the attorney what the child said. And keep a journal of all these things your child is telling you so that if you have to take it to court, then you have all this written down. On July 25th, my child came home and here's what he said.
Absolutely. Yeah. And keep in mind that, again, this goes back to if there's a court order enforcing it, if there's not a court order, that there needs to be one because this should absolutely be in a court order that, the other parent isn't speaking negatively about the other parent to the child and getting those things in court orders so that way you can then enforce it.
Oh, that is so sad. But what needs to be done and what's best for the child is the way you want to go.
Yeah, and just think about it this way. It's not about the now, right? It's about the forever and the damage that will be caused to this child if you don't take action. Because we know the other parent, like Lisa, she's not going to do it, right? So if you want to really protect your child from not only the current alienation, but the future effects on that child's relationships with other people and you. You have to do something.
100%. Tiffany, you are the greatest. Thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thank you. I love you to death. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I feel the same way. And if you want to learn more or contact Tiffany, go to her website, the Law Office of Tiffany M. Hughes, and her phone number 773-893-0228. You can also find more articles Tiffany wrote, more podcasts that she was on with me by going to divorcegirlsmiling.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.